Hey, welcome to the Happy Rant Podcast. I am Ted Kluck, joined, as always, in studio by my good friend and partner in radio, Barnabas Piper. Pipe, we are sans Ronald J. Martin. Do you think this has anything to do with his big protest move from last week?
Do you think there's
still a little scar tissue there from Ron's his big protest?
Is it possible that the podcast commissioner banned him from the league for taking a knee? I think that's true.
That's true. Is it possible that Ron could become like a folk hero for taking this
stance? Is this collusion amongst his fellow hosts to keep him out of the podcast?
Baby, he's so courageous, isn't he? I mean, just to have the courage to shop for wood cabins online while we're talking about a thing that he's not fully interested in. I mean, man, that's, you know, he's going to take a lot of heat for that, Pipe, but I really feel like he's courageous for it.
So. I just would like to say that, I mean, aren't there better ways to protest than cabin shopping? Isn't there a more respectful way to protest than cabin shopping?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like cabin shopping so often just divides people. And it's so public, and it's
during this really seminal part of the podcast. I mean, he could have done it quietly in his own home. I guess he was silent in his own home, but I mean, he could have done it another quiet way, out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah, silent and sullen. You know, that was clearly a shot at us. You know, that was very much for us. Like, subtext, hey, I'm doing so well, I can afford a log cabin in Ohio. Which, log cabins in Ohio, Pipe? How do we feel about that? And no offense to any Ohioans, but I don't think of that as a log cabin destination necessarily.
Yeah, you know, if I was a futurist and I was projecting, you know, booming real estate markets, the log cabin Ohio market probably wouldn't be in my top 25.
That's not one that I often hear.
2,500.
About,
you know, yeah.
When people think of their dream log cabin destinations, that's not often one that I hear about.
What would be a dream log cabin destination? Well, I mean, like the Smoky Mountains, like the
Adirondacks, East Tennessee, like Smoky Mountains. It's really pretty out there, man. All day long. I'd do a log cabin out there. Let's see.
Like upstate New York, like the Adirondacks.
Yeah, something like that. Someplace kind of exotic like that. I don't know. Where there's got to be some geography, like a nice lake. Ooh, like northern Minnesota, dude.
Yeah. I mean, I've stayed in some log cabins up there. You know, you get to the up near the North Shore. It's beautiful, man.
You got some beautiful water, some beautiful vistas. Absolutely. I mean, Ohio, you've got kind of a nonsensical highway system. And not a whole heck of a lot to do or look at. But I could be wrong. I could be missing some things. So I'm sure we'll get some pushback on that.
I feel like the only notable feature of Ohio now plays for the Lakers. So
that's true.
There's not a lot going for them.
Now that Bernie Kosar's not there anymore, you're absolutely right. But I think the most, to me, the best thing about the log cabin protest move by Ron was his logic of, you know, Melissa and I take a lot of these trips. We rent these log cabins, and I just want to own one. And I'm like, why? So you can have a mortgage payment and like the headache of ownership, and like everything that would be joyful about getting away would be gone the minute that you own it. But I feel like that's the kind of thing we're going to just have to let our boy kind of walk through on his own. I don't feel like he's going to listen to us on that.
Yeah, he's a free spirit. He's going to, you know, the same free spirit that led him to the boldness to protest is going to lead him to whatever conclusion he comes to on said log cabin.
Right. He's a man of conviction, doggone it, Piper. And Ron's going to do what Ron's going to do.
That's
or
right.
Something. My concern is, like, with the robust travel schedule that he already has, like, when do you shoehorn in time to go to the log cabin, you know? Unless there's conferences like there in that area, something's got to give, Pipe. I mean, he's got 4 Sundays out of the year that he's preaching at Substance. And then, you know, the other 48 weekends are up in the air, maybe 30 go to conferences. So, I mean, it's not a lot of time left.
Yeah. I guess the question is, how close is the cabin to his current home? And is it just sort of like, oh, we can just like buzz over here on your average Thursday. Cause you know, Ron posts so many pictures of like, oh, we're walking in the woods, or I'm sitting at a picnic table while fall foliage falls around me and I write a sermon in a moleskin. I mean, all of that works better at a log cabin if it's conveniently placed.
I feel like Ron likes nature just for its like Instagram possibilities, though.
He likes nature like he in the same way like Thomas nature. Kincaid liked nature.
That's true. That's true. Dude, if Kincaid had an Instagram, he'd be insufferable, I bet.
It'd be like, he was insufferable without one. Imagine what he would be like.
Dude, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. He would be such a show off about like the beautiful vistas where he was painting lighthouses and angels and stuff like that.
Want to bet that like Thomas Kincaid's painting, I mean, he probably lived in like central Ohio and painted in a garage.
I bet he did.
This was his way of escaping.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think so, man. Because if he lived someplace awesome, he would just go to those places and probably never get around to painting them. So this raises an interesting question. And I think we're going to do the promo in the middle. We're gonna promote Indie Live, which is a big event. It's huge. People should get tickets for it. We'll tell them how in a few minutes. But something you said raised a question in my mind. And that is, like, if you take personalities, famous people from different eras, like, who do you think would be the most insufferable in 2019? So if you drop them in a 2019 context with Instagram and Twitter, and just all the 2019 stuff, who's the worst? Like, who's the biggest wang from the past if you put them in 2019?
That is a good question.
And we could do categories. Who's the biggest, like, I probably can't say wang on the air. Who's the most insufferable, like, ministry guy from the past?
Okay. Yeah.
Sports guy. I mean, we can do sports.
The first name that came to mind was George Wallace, but I think he's just insufferable for existing. That's true. So,
dude, George Wallace with a Twitter would have been like,
would be a lot like current politicians who might or might not be in charge of aspects of government. Let's see. Ministry guy. Insufferable ministry guy. Martin Luther would be the worst. Martin Luther with a Twitter account, it would be, I mean, he might be funny on occasion. But, but like he would just be so angry, and it would be like Twitter threads constantly of screeds.
I feel like he would have been like early Paul Washer. You remember that guy?
Yeah, not that late Paul Washer is dramatically better. He just hasn't said anything new in 10 years.
Yeah, I got off social media like 9 years ago. So whatever he's been doing in the last 9 years, I don't know. But like before that, he was
same stuff.
He was just Mr. Intensity guy. You know, he was Mr. like, if your four friends are like all joking around at dinner and he's the fifth guy, he's the one going, hey, you know what? There are people suffering. So let's bring it down a couple of pegs, you know?
Martin Luther prays for 18 minutes while the roast beef gets cold.
Exactly. Martin Luther would be like that guy on cocaine. I mean, you know,
I feel like he could be a little bit like, you know, Doug Wilson, where he says some really clever creative things, but then you're like, oh, it's so tinged with anti-Semitism and he hates the Pope so much. What is going on? Like, he says some great things, but I don't know how to take it because it's also counterbalanced by utter insanity.
Yeah. That guy with Twitter would like, he would cook his own goose, you know, before the whole thing even got started.
And I feel if you gave like Jonathan Edwards or John Owen a Twitter account, they would basically be what my dad is trying to be on Twitter, which is sort of like, you know, theological Yoda. It's just these like how much truth can you pack into it? Whatever it is, 180 characters or 280 characters,
exactly,
along with the occasional random Bible verse out of context.
Yeah, although one of those guys, like, I would gamble that one of those guys would like do the like rapid fire like pictures of my kids thing, because didn't Jonathan Edwards have like 14 kids, which is why all of our reformed contemporaries are trying to do that.
Jonathan Edwards would absolutely refer to his wife on Twitter as his bride. That's a certainty.
he would go my bride. He would be like just enjoying a Saturday with my 14 kids. You know, it'd be the one Saturday that he wasn't away speaking at a conference, and he'd take like 95 pictures.
Yeah, it would be like the thing that people do when they're lying in bed on a Saturday morning, and their kids all come in and jump on them, and they snap the candid photo of like everybody's got messy hair, and they're all kind of tucked in there. That would be him with all of his Edwards children.
Dude, totally, dude. What do you think C.S. Lewis would have been like on Twitter? C.S. Lewis, you drop him in 2019. What's he like? What's his persona?
Second best to G.K. Chesterton.
Ooh.
Like, Chesterton would be the best on Twitter.
Chesterton would be, like, the cleverest.
Yes.
And you'd be like, oh, that guy's funny. You know?
Yeah, that guy's just hang out with that guy because he just seems awesome. I mean, that's what I feel like when I read his books, and mm-hmm. that's a book. On Twitter, you know, there'd be some more personality. Man, Lewis would be interesting. Lewis would keep you on your toes because he would say some really witty, clever, down-to-earth. You know, he had a real earthy side. Yeah. But then all of a sudden he would drop something about, like, Greek classic, you know, mythology, and you'd be like, whoa, where did
he'd be
that
like, oh, geez,
from?
This guy's really smart. You know, like, you knew it. You knew deep down that he was really smart, but every once in a while you get reminded. Yeah, I think – those guys would both be good follows. They'd be good follows in 2019 for sure. Yeah. I got another one for you.
All right.
And I'm conflicted about this one, obviously, because it concerns someone whose work I admire very much and who died kind of just before this. David Foster Wallace. 2019, does he have a Twitter? Does he have an Instagram? Does he go dark?
I think he would have been like an early adopter of social media
mm-hmm.
and then would have written like a 37-page long form essay about why he's quitting social media and how it's sucking the soul out of the nation and himself.
Well, dude, in a weird roundabout way, Infinite Jest is kind of about that. I mean, in that he predicted all this internet kind of entertainment stuff right before it hit, and he predicted the whole, like, you know, if pornography and drugs get any better and more accessible, I'm just going to have to leave the planet, you know, that whole thing. Yeah. And what do you know? They did. And it's hard for people. So I think that was prophetic. You know, I think a lot of what he wrote was prophetic. And I think he would have had serious hangups about the kind of persona work that goes on in Twitter and Instagram. And that may have driven him off of it. So you're probably right there. There would have been an essay about it for sure.
Yeah, I mean, social media doesn't work well for people who are you know, dealing with deep emotional and, you know, soul-oriented struggles, but are also profoundly introspective and profoundly observational. You know, it will eat those people alive.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that.
Or it will turn people into, like, it will take those aspects of people and essentially kill them. Not kill the people, but kill the aspects. And so, I think it either would have turned him into not David Foster Wallace, because it would have killed or it would have just driven him to the point of insanity.
Or it would have made him ordinary in a weird way. Like, when I think of Wallace, I think of, a la Michael Jordan, just kind of this ethereal talent that's kind of untouchable and different. Whereas if you saw him on Twitter every day, like, you know, complaining about Trump or like retweeting NBA stuff or whatever, you'd be like, this guy's ordinary. You know, this guy's not all that different from everybody else.
The moment he posts a picture of his Saturday morning omelet, you're like, wait a minute.
This guy's lame. Yeah. And you have that moment where you go, I don't know what I thought he was doing on Saturday, but now that I know, I'm disappointed. I think there's certain things we shouldn't know.
Yeah. Well, and we shouldn't even think about, and not because we shouldn't think about them because they're so ordinary. I don't care what restaurant people eat at or what food they eat or like when their kids jump on their bed. None of that particularly matters. And so to me, I mean, if I'm their friend, maybe, but so yeah, it sort of takes away the myth of the man.
Dude, I've got a question for you. And then I want to get back to this because this is a fun little conceit that we've got going here. When Ron finally purchases his log cabin, what do you think the internet announcement is going to look like? What's the rollout going to be? Are we going to get a picture of the stack of books, the steaming cup of coffee? This is what it's going to be. Books, coffee, shot off the front porch, over the rail, with Ron's boots and cuff jeans included in the shot. And then, like, grateful for my, you know, rustic getaway, signed Ron.
Nah, I think in true Ron fashion, it'll be a picture of his wife.
Okay.
Doing all of those things on the front porch of the cabin. Because
you got to get the wife in there.
Right.
You got to get thankful for the wife in there.
He, you know, and this is a very, very respectable thing about Ron. He praises his wife on social media with utter genuineness, with regularity. And so, and not in like the weird, you know, smoking hot wife way, but just because he thinks she's an awesome person. And so I think it will be that. And so it'll be almost like a humble brag about the cabin, mm-hmm. with Big M being the kind of the feature praise and thanks of the photo. And it's like, oh, by the way, we're on the front porch of our brand new thing. And then there'll be a string of other photos that show the views and the rustic wood. And what I can't wait for is when he starts decking that place out for Christmas. It's going to be, it will literally be Santa's workshop.
Yeah, it will. It's going to be Santa's workshop. That's so funny. Dude, just once, here's what I would love to see. And you don't even often see this from the world, but you never see it in our tribe. Just once in our tribe, when somebody buys something awesome, I just want to see them. I want to see him post a picture and go, look at this effing car. Isn't this thing sweet?
I know.
Isn't this
look
amazing?
At this hot ride.
Yeah. Look at what I bought with my money. You know, isn't this unbelievable? Subtext, aren't I unbelievable? Like, I would love that level of transparency, I guess, is what I'm looking for. But
isn't
it's never
that
gonna
what
happen.
Just got James McDonald fired in part? For basically being like, look at this huge house that I bought with all of my money.
Yeah, that's true.
So maybe that wouldn't go over super well.
You'd have to be the right person doing it. But
I should probably be careful. He likes to sue people. I hope he doesn't come after me for saying his name on this podcast.
He does like to sue people, doesn't he? And now he's got a lot more time to do it. Maybe we'll have Resonate bleep out a third of what we just said. All right, Pipe, let's
just remove his name.
Let me lob a couple of sports ones at you.
All right.
Michael Jordan technically is around in 2019, but not during his playing career. You put like early career, you know, shoes just dropped, couple of great seasons with the Bulls, starting to win titles. You put that Michael Jordan in 2019. What does it look like?
I think he would be exactly like what Tom Brady is right now, which is to say completely boring. On social media. Yeah. I mean, I don't even know if Brady's on social media. But I mean, the peak competitors have no personality online. People with personality online are usually they're not quite as sort of manically, maniacally competitive. And so I think Jordan would make brand announcements. He would, you know, if there was like a media tour around a new shoe or, you know, Space Jam or whatever, he would get on there for that, but it would be all super on brand.
Or he'd be like, hey, I started a new foundation, you know, whatever. Yeah, he would have a Twitter, but it would be clearly in that way of 100% somebody else is writing these tweets.
Oh yeah, know? I mean, it's like run by a PR person for sure.
Exactly. No, I think you're right. Dude, what about Iverson in 2019?
Oh man.
I think it'd be bananas. In the best possible way.
Yeah, let's see. Who I'm trying to think of a current sports personality who just goes after other. He would be like the original Joel Embiid.
Okay.
Except like not funny, just mean.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, where like Embiid makes jokes and just he loves to talk trash because all he ever wants to do is compete. And so if he's like, fine, if I make some people mad online, that's great. But Iverson would do that, except he would just go after people's moms. He would after everything about him. There wouldn't be a joke in it. He'd just be like, no, I'm gonna cyber cut their throat. That's what I'm gonna do.
Yeah, for sure.
He would be a tremendous follow. That would be so much fun from just sort of a train wreck perspective.
Dude, it would absolutely. Do we have any more of these, Piper? Any more of these what happens if you put them in 2019?
Yeah, other genres of life. Let's see. What about, so given our current president's well-known Twitter habits, would be other presidents who would either be excellent on Twitter or just the worst?
Dude, so I think Clinton would be great. Just because I think Clinton, you know, taking away all the moral stuff, you know, you take that off the table. The guy was a great communicator. He was entertaining.
Well, and if we're good at anything in America, it's taking away all the moral stuff from the presidents we vote for, apparently. So
I think we've basically done that.
Yep,
you know,
we're good at that.
Maybe he started it. I think we're really good at it. But, you know, I think he would be a fun follow. I feel like with Clinton, it would be a lot of celebrity pictures. You know what I mean? It'd be like, hey, I was at the Binion's Horseshoe at 2 a.m. in Vegas, and I ran into Charles Barkley, and this is a picture of the two of us. You know, it'd be a lot of that kind of thing with Clinton. I think what would Reagan's Twitter presence have been like? I think curated by someone else probably would is
yeah, that's an interesting one, because there was, you know, he was president during some pretty pointed, you know, end of the Cold War kind of stuff. So
yeah,
I think he would. I bet there would have been a lot of internal conflict, because he was a Hollywood guy.
Yeah,
prior
for sure.
To being president, but then there was this very sensitive stuff. So it would have been a very like occasional, very sort of pointed pro-America, you know, the Reaganism kind of thing, and then occasionally like a well-crafted like glamour shot of him at the Resolute desk with his feet up on it, like smoking a cigarette in a holder or something.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, for sure. No, it would have looked good. It would have been a good looking Twitter for sure. I think George W. Bush would be bananas on Twitter. That guy's really funny. You know, he's really
is he funny on purpose, or just funny because he's just like, he just sort of overflows with more personality than his intellect knows how to handle?
Dude, I've seen him speak in person, and granted, it was the right kind of audience. It was low hanging fruit. It was just a really easy room for him. But
oh, was it an SBC event?
Well, it was an event at a university that I'm very well acquainted with.
Okay,
so we'll just leave it at that. But anyway, my overarching thought about that whole evening watching him perform was, this guy's the smartest guy in the room, and he's got an innate sense of pace and timing and when to be charming, when to be serious. Like I came away pretty impressed by what he brought to the table. And I think for whatever reason, Pipe, and maybe you see this in your work life, for whatever reason, the job just wasn't perfect for him. You know what I'm saying? Like if George W. Bush, let me put it this way. If he was a college professor, he would be the most popular prof on campus.
Oh, like, yes, absolutely.
People would be eating out of his hand. He'd be the prof where like kids were taking his class when they didn't even have to. Like it didn't even count toward their major. They'd be taking the class, you know. He'd be that guy. And so I think his Twitter would be – he would be a pretty great follow. That could be interesting.
Yeah, that's true. I think Teddy Roosevelt might have been the greatest follow ever. I don't know if like – I have no idea if he actually accomplished anything as a president. He was definitely like a larger personality than he was a political figure, other than like the state parks thing. But the man just lived an outsized life. And so
– yeah, dude.
Can you imagine him like posting a picture? He's like – he's got like a POTUS hat on. He's holding up the head of a bison that he's just gunned down from horseback.
Right.
I feel like that would be – you know, it would be a lively experience.
Dude, it's probably a referendum on like how crappy our public school like history educations were between the two of us. But like – I couldn't tell you anything about Teddy Roosevelt except that he was just one of the more famous ones. You know what I mean?
He genuinely didn't do anything because there were no like major wars or anything during his time. He started the national park system. That was his, which is ironic because he also loved to kill animals. So he set up a situation to protect the animals from people like himself.
From people like him. Yeah, I love it. I love it. I know the irony, man. The irony. Dude, what about Abe Lincoln on Twitter? Abe Lincoln, you put him in 2019, you know, Honest Abe, safe to say kind of controversial.
I think his personality and what you described George W. Bush as are kind of the same thing. You know, they're really smart. They're folksy. Like they have Bush might be fake folksy just because he's Texan. You know, everybody in Texas can fake it if they want to. Whereas Lincoln was like log cabin guy and, you know, horseback lawyer kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But also pretty brilliant. But his brilliance was more in like patience and long strategy as opposed to like, you know, Bill Clinton, you get the sense that he or Obama, you're like, those guys are brilliant wits. Like their minds work fast.
Yep.
So I don't know. I mean, I don't know if Lincoln would have been great on Twitter or not. I think he would have been very relatable. And you're like, I like this guy. But also, like, what's his deal? What's he doing?
Yeah. What's he doing? What he would be doing is like, he would have some plan that he's trying to put the wheels in motion for like 12 years down the road. Which isn't always conducive to like, you know, the Twitter environment. This is fun, man. Do you have any more of these? Any more that you've thought of?
Oh, let's see. Moving.
Any other spheres of life?
Let me think.
Dude, what about Sinatra? Frank Sinatra, 2019. He's got a Twitter. He's got an Instagram. What does it look like?
First of all, I think he would have been an early adopter of Snapchat because it deletes everything after you post it.
Yeah.
Which in his case is probably wise, other than the screenshots people take of it. I think he would have been somebody who caused himself a ton of problems and then had to sort of navigate like, oh, maybe we shouldn't post those pictures.
You know, exactly.
Maybe the cocaine on the table is a little too much. Let's keep it to just the bottles of liquor, that kind of thing. He would have been... Yeah, you would have been invited right into the parties and the self-destructive behavior for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Entire Rat Pack.
I think he would have figured out, though, how to make it look glamorous and not sad. Because I think that's a thing that all people who are good at Instagram, like they have this way of putting the best possible veneer on, you know, their mostly sad, self-serving activities. And I think Frank would have figured out how to do that.
And he would have used a lot of lyrics from his own songs so that no matter what the picture was of, you just start singing like I Did It My Way or New York, New York or something. And all of a sudden you're like, oh, this is so much fun.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. No, I know, man. That's what the great ones can do. And by the great ones, I mean the people who are great at manipulating you online.
People who are great at lying in pictures.
People who are great at lying about their own lives, for sure. That's what it's come to. Oh, man. Well, Pipe, speaking of basketball, let's do a little bit on basketball, and then I want to ask you like another kind of generationally themed question just to stay in that theme. But I don't know if you can tell it in my voice, but I'm really exhausted today. I'm exhausted because I've been playing intramural basketball on a student team, and our games start at 10 p.m., which is just insane. And at the beginning of the season, I thought, 10 p.m., no big deal. I stay up late sometimes. This will be fine. And it is fine. Like on the game days themselves, like I don't feel it when I'm playing. I feel it for like 4 days afterward, just how miserable I feel and how tired I like perpetually am. Well,
for context, when you stay up late normally, what are you doing? Say starting at 9:30 PM until whenever you go to bed, what does that stretch of time look like as compared to going and putting on, you know, your T-shirt and your shorts and your, I'm sure you have like a calf wrap and a shooting sleeve and a headband.
Oh, dude, all the accessories.
All of it. So what are you doing on a normal day? Just to give context.
Dude, a normal day at 9 or 9:30, I'm sitting on my sofa, consuming things that I enjoy, watching usually a movie with my wife or a show with my wife or, you know, League Pass with a buddy. I'm just, you know, I'm kind of pampering myself, to be honest. And it's not hard. It's not taxing. But this intramural season has been unique in the following way. So when I signed with this team, our team is called Pippin Ain't Easy. Little homage
to Scott
Pippin.
Which is a great name. But also I like that you said signed with this team. Did they pay you something?
Dude, they reached out to me. So these are some guys who are kind of in my journalism program at various levels. One of the guys on my team is my sports editor. Last year's sports editor is on the team. But the real sort of like the James Harden figure on the team, the real alpha, is an English major that I kind of stole from English, and now I've got him doing journalism stuff. And he's a great dude. He reached out to me, said, "Cluck, we want you on our intramural team."
Did he announce to the English department that he was taking his talents to journalism?
No, but I really wish he had. I really wanted to do that. Maybe it's not too late. So he reaches out to me. He goes, "Cluck, I want you on our team." I said, "Great." I said, "I have two contract demands. One is that you put me on the roster, but I have the option to never show up to any games. So if I just didn't feel like going ever, I could always exercise that option." And then the second demand was, I don't want to play more than like 10 minutes per half. So the games are 40 minutes long. They're 20 minute halves. It's like college basketball without, you know, 4,000 timeouts. So 20 minute halves, they're pretty long. But as it happens, every game I've played this season has been against the same team. And I don't know.
How many intramural teams are there?
Dude, there's like 16. But here's the thing. Always the worst team to play in intramurals. And I don't know if it was like this at Wheaton, because I don't know if you had these programs. So we have graduate nursing and pharmacy programs. And the pharmacy team is always these like roided up, like 28-year-old, like angry dudes who study all day and do like cycles of Anadrol 50 and lift weights. Like that's all they do. You know, like that's their life, you know. And they only ever
that sounds ever get so out. Depressing.
Dude, right. And that's why they're so angry. That they only ever get out of their building to like come and play intramural games against undergrads, you know, against these little weaselly Christian college boys. And everybody hates playing against the pharmacy teams, and with good reason, because they're no fun to play against. They're really chippy. Like, so I don't remember. I don't know what it was like at Wheaton, but like the environment for these intramural games, for the most part at Union, is everybody starts out kind of being fun and collegial. And if like the chippiness escalates, it escalates because of a couple of hard fouls or whatever toward the end. But for the most part, everybody's kind of starting off there to have a good time. These guys start off and it's war, man. Like these pharmacy dudes, they do not care. So they're like diving around, they're smashing into you. Guys are like hitting the floor with regularity. And we had to face these guys twice in the regular season and then once again in the playoffs. So it's been nothing but like, you know, Anadrol 50 pharmacy dudes for me this intramural season.
What was the final result of these three games?
Okay, so let's see. We beat them the first time. We were down by 9. I think I mentioned this on the show. Down by 9 with 4 minutes to go, and we came back and beat him. And then we played him again, and we didn't have like two of our best guys, so we lost. So yeah, it's been hit or miss against Pharmacy, man. And they're usually really good teams. Like the guy I've had to guard every time. So they have jerseys. Here's another intramural thing. They've gotten their own jerseys printed. So they've got
so somebody has daddy's credit card, is that what I understand?
Dude, right. Somebody has daddy's credit card. They've got like their own logo they designed, and they've got like names on the back.
I hate jersey. These guys so much. I hate Dude, them right. so much. I'm having a 15-year flashback to being in intramural college sports, and I want to go throw an elbow right now. That's what I feel in my heart.
Dude, thank you. That's so validating to hear you say that, because it's like, am I just a jerk for thinking this? But yeah, these guys show up in their jerseys and they're like reversible homage to the Phoenix Suns jerseys. So there's like a purple side and a white side, and both sides have like numbers and names on them. And I just feel like
they
for
have
intramurals,
names on the jerseys and everything.
They have names.
These guys are tools.
Dude, their point guard is this huge guy called Dirty Mike, and it says Dirty Mike on the back of his jersey. And Dirty Mike's thing is just to drive to the basket like a bull in a china shop.
I would put Dirty Mike right into the stanchion, head first.
Oh, believe
like,
me. Yeah, yeah.
Elbow in the teeth. I was not a very friendly intramural basketball player, but yeah, anybody who if a team shows up in jerseys, I immediately go into full Bruce Bowen mode where my goal is to injure all of them. I'm just putting my feet under them on the jumpers. I'm swinging elbows, all of it. I want no part in that.
Dude, yeah, it's definitely been hard. It's been hard on our bodies and our psyches.
Do you ref your own games, or are there refs for these games?
No, there's refs, okay. Man. And the reffing is like wildly. Like the first time we played Pharmacy, we actually had a couple of refs with pretty good whistles, and you know they kind of kept things at bay. But the guys in our last game, man, they let it be the bloodbath that it was, and it was pretty bad. So yeah, man, that's the deal with intramurals, and I love playing. You know my uniform aesthetic right now, I'm a tights guy. Like I've adopted tights. Which I have not earned. And we've talked about this in the past. Like you got to be a contributor at a certain level to accessorize.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like those rules go out the window for intramurals, anything goes. Cause it's kind of like half ironic anyway.
If you're a professor playing with students, you can show up and play in a cardigan sweater. You could play in jeans. Yeah. You can do anything.
Dude, so I think my next game, I am going to show up in khakis and a blue blazer. I'm going to play in that, and then I'm going to send those tapes to Owen Strachan and tell him, like, hey, I got a couple of years of eligibility here. I'm not saying, you know, let's just see where it goes, Owen. You know, you and me, let's just talk. Just two guys talking right now.
See what kind of financial aid package they can get you.
What if we put a team together? What if we put like an intramural team together and we scrimmaged the team at Charles Spurgeon College? Is that at Spurgeon? Is that what we were talking about last
time? Yeah, it's Spurgeon College at Midwestern. Yeah. It really depends on who's on the team, but
that's the thing. Yeah.
Being an overconfident ex-athlete, I immediately think I like our chances based on knowledge of anything in real life. Just I like our chances.
Dude, I could probably get us a couple of ringers too. Like we have a couple of guys on campus who are like graduate assistant coaches on our basketball team who just slay. They're just savages in intramural.
A couple of my roommates when I was in college were varsity basketball players. And so like those are the guys who they're just friends of mine and still are. So yeah, I could probably bring in some ringers.
Oh, for sure. We could call up a couple of guys. Now I realize we just ripped this mentality completely, but if this happens, I want jerseys. Dude, I want Happy Rant jerseys. Whose NBA aesthetic are we going to mimic on our jerseys?
Well, if it's Happy Rant, I feel like it's Brooklyn, right? Just you got the color scheme.
Yeah, it's Brooklyn. We got the black and white color scheme.
I do want the Brooklyn City jerseys, the one with the Biggie Small sweater pattern on the trim.
Are sick.
Those are so clean. Sick. I like those.
Yeah, for sure. So all right, so Brooklyn jersey aesthetic. Happy Rant intramural team. You know what? Let's open this up. Let's get some dialogue going online about this. So if you're interested in playing intramural basketball for our team, for the Happy Rant team against Spurgeon College, hit us up on Twitter. Let us know a little bit about your basketball persona. Like for me,
your persona.
Your persona, yeah. So like for me, I'm going to goon it up down low. I'm gonna throw a lot of elbows. I'm gonna get some rebounds, play some good defense. I got a baby hook and a little baseline jumper, and that's basically it. But I'm gonna look good.
You are Zach Randolph, is what I just heard.
I'm late career Zach Randolph.
Okay,
but dude, I'm putting on a show. Believe me. For me, it's sports entertainment. It's about bringing a smile to the fans' faces, energizing the fan base. You're gonna get that with me. So when you sign me, that's what you know you're getting. So tell us a little bit about your persona, basketball persona, and let's put a team together. Let's get 10 or 12 guys. Let's charter a bus. Let's drive it up to Spurgeon College, and let's get a little game in with these guys. I would like to see this happen.
Well, and for the sake of roster composition, because these things matter, I would consider myself more of a stretch four. Now, Bill Simmons says that everybody reaches a point in their pickup basketball career where they become a stretch four because you can no longer run or jump. The thing is, I've been that since I was 16 years old. So
I love it.
On offense, I'm more like a pick and pop guy. I'm on the perimeter, but I'll crash the boards. On defense, I'll put you into the floor. That is my game. I will try to block lots of shots and I will hit you really hard if I can't block your shot. So I may or may not get in foul trouble. I will also go nose to nose with a referee if I dislike them. I did get kicked out of one or two intramural games back in my day for mouthing off and fouling lots of people. So
nice.
But I'm not out of control. It's all calculated. So I can,
You're Danny Ainge. You're Christian Danny Ainge.
Yeah, kind of an instigator, but not like the tug on people's shorts instigator. Like the kind who knocks them into the second row instigator. That kind.
I love it. I love it. Man, this is good. This team is shaping up.
Yeah, so we've got two very aggressive front court players, so we need to fill in around this.
We do. We need some finesse guys. We need some guys with some skill. We need some guys to shoot some traces. We need some three balls. So hit us up, man.
Ideally, somebody who can dribble the basketball, because I don't get the impression either of us are spectacular at that.
Dude, no, I'm not handling. I'm not handling, no, for sure. If you can bring the ball up the floor, we would like to hear from you. Reach out. And we're going to put this team together, man. We're going to make it happen. We're getting Brooklyn City jerseys in the process. I love this development. This is good. Happy Rant basketball. This could be like this may be a little before your time, Piper, but I'd be curious. When I was a kid, talking like early childhood here, like the NFL teams would often have just kind of like traveling promotional basketball teams that would play in the offseason. And I remember when I was a kid in like 1984, the Chicago Bears like came to our high school gym and they played a game against like the local cops or, Blackford High School alumni or whatever. They played in our gym. They probably slept with like half the women in our town that night. And then they would go on to another city. But, we could be We could be the podcast version of that, minus the sleeping with all the women in your town thing.
Thank you for clarifying that last point. I feel like that's that's a real important differentiation.
I do. I feel
also,
like it's a really
we're not professional athletes.
We're not professional athletes, but we are entertainers, Piper. We are in the sports entertainment business, and we would put on a show. So
I would like to know what Ron's response would be if we were like, hey, we really want you to be part of this in some capacity.
What capacity would that take, though? How would he be a part of it?
That's my question. What would that part be?
Halftime entertainment? Like, he could do a Joy Electric set at halftime?
Only but if it, he it, went into full full music video mode, which he refuses to acknowledge.
It's delicate for Ron, though, because Ron doesn't do irony. And he doesn't look at his career with any level of irony at all. So it would have to be something that would, like, honor him to some degree. Where he could like really do it, you know, he could really do it to an audience that would appreciate it. So we have to think of what this is. I've got an idea.
I think he could be like, you know, the Michael Buffer of this event, you know, cause he's an MC to the core when it comes down to like introing things, welcoming everybody, getting the energy up. Like he's the energy in the gym guy.
He is, man. And so here's a function that I think Ron could really play. You know how Piper in 2019, in this context, like part of the NBA broadcast experience is you get that shot of like the super fashionable player, like walking into the arena, never looking at the camera, always in headphones, mm-hmm. usually chewing something, but they're dressed to the nines.
Yeah, or on their phone. That's right.
Or on their phone. Dressed to the nines could be a suit. Dressed to the nines could be like some other like meticulously curated casual outfit, but
like nine jackets, perhaps
nine jackets. That could be Ron's thing. Ron's like role to play on the team could just be walking into the arena, looking really nice in whatever outfit he picked out for himself.
I think he would excel at it.
I think he would too. I think he would crush that. So see, everybody's got a job. You know, he might not play a lot of minutes. By that, I mean he wouldn't play any minutes. But he would walk into the arena with aplomb. He would be our guy for that. So I like this, Pipe. I like this whole idea. I think
are
the whole
thing. Are we doing like a player-coach situation, or are we bringing in a coach?
Ooh. See, I think naturally you step into that player-coach role. I think you're that guy, man. I think you know the most about basketball of anybody in our environment. You know, provided some like college coach doesn't step forward and say, I would do it.
But really, do we want a college coach? Those guys are not known to be loads of fun.
Dude, no, we want fun people only. So if you're not fun, just forget about it.
Yeah. Need not apply.
Yeah. Non-fun people need not apply. So I think it would be you in that you would be a little bit like late career Mike Dunleavy Sr. In that you would get a few games in as a player coach. So you may have to wear the short shorts and like work with like
that. I mean, nobody else wants to see me in short shorts, but I'll totally wear them.
Do a comb over of some kind, you know?
I'm a little shy on the male pattern baldness, like the thinning hair on top. I'm not there yet. So yeah. that I might need to, we'll just have to
Dude,
work
we may have that. To, we may have to do like a Dunleavy Senior homage game where we all go short shorts and comb overs.
At the very
know.
Least, I could do like the Pat Riley hair. I can slick mine back something fierce.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that would be great. So yeah, all kinds of potential here, Piper. All kinds of potential.
I like the way this is shaping up. But yeah, listeners, basketball persona, hit us up. What's your place on the team? What do you bring to the table that is unique and that fits our particular situation?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So yeah, we need role players. I don't know what you want your like minute distribution to look like, Piper, but like I really don't want to play 10 minutes per half max is where I'm at. If we're looking at a 40-minute game, you know, I don't want to play more than half the game. So,
I think if you're late career Zach Randolph, that kind of means like you're sort of an ideal like seventh man. And I think with in a 40-minute game, we can't really go deeper than about nine guys. So,
right.
You know, we probably want 10, 11 on the roster, but a couple of those guys will only play if, you know, Ted's hamstrings are acting up or, you know, I get ejected or something like that.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. But we're going to need some younger dudes to like to log some significant minutes here. So,
yeah, because I mean, I could probably do like 28 minutes.
Yeah.
But we need somebody who can do like 36.
Exactly. Yeah. We got to have, you know, we got to have some high energy guys that can play the whole game. So, we'll see what the cat drags in, Piper. We'll see what kind of reach out we get online. And, we're going to put this team together. I'll start looking into jerseys and, you know,
also,
listen, Spurgeon College, be ready.
To be clear, this is not a male only environment. If you're a lady who's a baller, please apply.
We absolutely
wide open to that. We still want to know what your on-court persona is, but just wanted to clarify that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, we have absolutely no problem with that. If you will help us beat Spurgeon College, regardless of age, gender, whatever, we're ready to have you on the floor with us. It would be an honor to play with you. So,
and honestly, there would be something really, really fun about a team, like a co-ed team, just running a bunch of white reform dudes off the floor. So,
dude, that would be many layers of fun. Actually,
Owen Strachan would not know what to do with that, and it would be delightful.
He'd go bananas. What if he lost to a female coach?
Do you think he would shake hands?
Oh, I don't know, man. I don't know. I have to be honest, though. I have to come clean about something. And then I want to seamlessly transition into promoing Indie Live and then get out of here. But I didn't shake hands last night. I didn't shake hands after our game with 21 dudes, the pharmacy team. I don't know. I was a little hot. I was a little hot about their conduct. So
here's the thing. The shaking hands after games thing, like when people don't do it and somebody, you know, people get all self-righteous on social media about a professional athlete not doing that, I could not care less. If you just lost and it was heartbreaking or the other team was dirty or you know that you just want to punch them if you see them again, all of those are like, fine, don't shake hands. Like shaking hands is not the epitome of sportsmanship. So
I agree.
People need
I agree.
To kind of get off that high horse.
You could shake hands and be very insincere about it. And
like
I just
every athlete rather, after every game.
Like every athlete, yeah, exactly, dude. I had a gym full of fans. I had to cater to too. So we, our team, man, Pippin ain't easy. We bring fans out. We put backsides in the seats. So it's something we pride ourselves on. We're there for the fans, and I had a lot of students and former students, and my wife and kids were there. I had a lot of people I had to interact with after the game. So, you know, just didn't have time for the handshakes.
No, not even a little bit.
That's the way it goes. Yeah, this is fun, man. And maybe Pipe. Here's what I would like to see by way of a transition into Indie Live. I'd like to sign a couple of players at Indie Live. And what I would like to do, and you know, you let me know how you feel about this as co-owner of the team. I would like to sign players in such a way that we bring them out of the crowd, we bring them up onto the stage, we do a little photo op. Maybe we have the jerseys there already, and we invite you into the Happy Rant basketball family. And like a true press conference signing. Where
with Ted and player both kind of each holding half of a basketball and they're holding up one finger like they're the first draft. That super awkward thing that they
absolutely
do at the draft. It's ideal. I love it.
I want to do that. I want to do the draft moment. I want to do the big David Stern hug. And I want to sign some guys. I want to sign at least two players at Indie Live. So hit us up before that. Get your tickets for Indie Live. Piper, tell them how to do that.
If you go to happyrantpodcast.com, you will see a spot kind of right at the top of the page, right under the description of the show that says events. And it's got the location, which is Soma Church in Indianapolis, Soma Church and Day Spa and Pharmacy, not to be confused with the pharmaceutical team that Ted does not enjoy. And then it's got the date and time. That's March 31 at 7 p.m., and then it's got a big orange button that says get your tickets. And if you click that, it'll take you to Eventbrite. You can buy your tickets. We've had people buy like blocks of five and not 10, but several. So people are bringing groups of people to this, which makes a ton of sense because that's probably how people are going to the Gospel Coalition, you know, a whole church staff or a whole team. Just bring the whole team to Indie Live. It's right before the Gospel Coalition starts. It's Sunday night. And then the big conference starts the next day. So this is your chance to have a really good time before you go listen to lots and lots of sermons and breakout sessions, none of which we are part of. So this is also your only chance to hear Ted, Ronnie, and myself do anything remotely close to a breakout because we weren't invited. So tickets are $15, so not super expensive. Bring your team out. go check it out. We would love to see you there. And we still have tickets available. So we've got plenty of room for you and would love to have you come out.
Bring your team out and join our team. And Piper, if they sign their contracts or their national letter of intents with us at Indie Live, they'll have like 3 days to find like Owen Strahan in the halls of that other conference and like start.
Yeah, just dunk on him. You know,
yeah,
just
start talking some junk to Strahan, just to plant a little seed, you know, just to get in his head.
Tell him we're coming for him. Make him nervous. I mean, he'll pretend like he doesn't know what you're talking about. He'll be like, "Oh, what? Who's this? I don't know what this is."
What podcast?
That's all an act. He's going to lose sleep over this, folks. If we do it right.
Absolutely. Tell him to press his khaki shorts and like, let's do this thing. Nothing would make me happier, Pipe, and this show has made me happy. For the life of me, I'm so tired I can't even really remember what we talked about. I just feel like I enjoyed it. It was an enjoyable 50 minutes, and like we always do, we've wandered to and fro throughout these topics. And until next time, Rachel the Held Evans.
The Happy Rant is brought to you by Resonate Recordings. If you go to resonaterecordings.com, you can see the full range of services they offer. So if you're considering starting a podcast, they are the ones we recommend going with. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see their prices, to connect with them and ask any questions, and to see what they can do to help you launch, edit, master, and improve your podcast. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see what they can do to help you launch and improve your podcast.
God's word will change our life, but sometimes it's hard to know where to start. Well, that's where I come in. I'm Jody Nisnik, host of So Much More, Creating Space for God, a scripture meditation podcast. And each week, I guide you through a scripture, giving you space to listen to the Spirit and pray about what's on your heart. Then we have a thoughtful conversation with guests to help us go deeper. Listen and subscribe at lifeaudio.com.